Of some of the stories that we're seeing the beginning of here. There's one story here that has to do with the city called Philippi. And when you think about Philippi, what do you think about first normally? Anybody? Philippian church, obviously, but how about the Philippian jailer? Amen? And we're not quite to him yet. We'll get to him next week. But Paul, on his second missionary journey, what you're going to see tonight is how God has directed him and moved him, and day by day, step by step, gotten him right where he needed to be. And then, folks, we love that verse, in due season, ye shall reap if you faint not. And he could have fainted. He was left for dead at one point in his first journey. That's the thing the devil's going to try and get you to do. He's going to try and get you to faint. He's going to try and get you to quit. He's going to try and get you to drop out or to back off or to give up or to lose hope or to stop serving or whatever he can do to stop you. But if you keep being faithful with God, God is faithful with us. And it's exciting because every now and then, as you are, and you're going to see some of that in Philippi, every now and then, as you're faithful to keep on serving and keep on going and keep on serving, all of a sudden, here's that shower of blessings. And if anybody can appreciate showers, it's us in Phoenix in July, right? Can't wait till it rains again. I love it when it rains. Cools things off and it makes the plants look good again. And we love those showers. But in your life, I think many of you know what I'm talking about. You went through a rough spot, or you went through a trying or dry spell, or a time when you didn't see a lot happening, and all of a sudden God just blessed you. Now, how many would say, Pastor, I've seen that happen in my life? That feels great. And God does that. We need to stay in His will so that we can be there when the time comes for those blessings. And not that there won't be hard times, and Paul's life and his missionary journeys are good examples of that. So there are a couple of people here in this passage that are going to jump out a little bit at you. Timothy is one of them. We'll talk about him just a little bit later on. And then a lady named Lydia. And what you're going to see throughout chapter 16, and we're going to look at the first 15 verses tonight, is God directing Paul and then blessing Paul as he follows along. And it almost seems random if you look at it. Why would that happen? How did that happen? Things that were just unexpected. And, you know, how can Paul bump into this woman named Lydia at a river there? And, well, God put that together. Amen? And the things that yesterday when I went to see Brother Spade, John Spade, in the hospital, he said, bring me a Bible. That's a good request. I took him a Bible, and he said there was nothing else to read there. So I took him a Bible, and I took him a biography of J. Hudson Taylor, which is a great book by Steele, I think is the author's name. And then I took him a stack of tracts. And you say, why did I have to go to the hospital? Maybe so somebody could hear the gospel and get saved. Maybe so you could have a season of rest, because John won't stop. And maybe he can stop and read a little now and get rested up. But whatever the reason is, don't you think God has a purpose in the things he does in your life? Amen? And sometimes, I love, Joseph is my example here, my favorite one. Joseph told his brothers, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it's the same as with Jesus on the cross. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'll let you remain seated as I read tonight, but I'm just going to read a few verses here, beginning in chapter 16 and verse 1. And then we'll have a word of prayer and look at this for a few minutes. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. That's exciting if you think about it. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. Wow. His father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. There's a lot in that verse, but we'll talk about that some other time. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. You remember back from chapter 15. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's an interesting statement too. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia by the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, That's interesting. And they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful of the Lord, to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, help us tonight. I pray you help us to have ears to hear and the opportunity to do so. And I pray that you'd bless what we do this evening in the time in the Bible. And just pray that you would give us, again, direction. Help us to hear what the Bible says and to see what you have for us tonight. And I pray for the young people in the back that you'd give Carlos special wisdom to say what he needs to them as well. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's a couple of thoughts. We won't be too long tonight, but can you see all the little details in this passage and what I'm interested in especially, if you think about details, is some things that happened. For example, in verse 6, it says, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. It says in verse 7, the Spirit suffered them not. And then it talked about that vision in verse 9. And then they, in verse 10, gathered that the Lord called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia, which is northern Greece. And every day, they were letting God lead them. Wouldn't it be the right thing for us to do in the morning to pray, "Lord, today lead me"? Now, probably a missionary on the field in a new area would see a lot more dynamics than we would. For example, tomorrow, I know pretty much how the day is going to go. My wife's going to leave for work, and I'm going to come down here, and Mr. Mendez and I are going to meet, and pretty much every day throughout the day, I know I've got things to get ready. This week, I'll be preparing for the Sunday after next, because next Sunday I'll be out of town. But we know what's going to happen day by day. Wednesday prayer meeting and Tuesday visitation and those kind of things. But even then, so many of you say, tomorrow I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to work, or I'm going to do whatever needs to be done. But what if God has some little detail that he could use you in a great way tomorrow? Amen? Somebody that would cross your path that you could witness to. Some church member that you could stop and pray for. Maybe send them a message and encourage them. Some things that you could do. God's a very detailed God. And if you want to see how detailed he is, just take anything he created. Like take a flower, for example. And the closer you get to the surface of that flower, you can get down to the microscopic level, there's still detail there. God's a detailed God. And a lot of the time, and we'll see this in a minute, he leads us in different ways. But I think it's important for us to begin by saying, "Lord, I want to be led." And then what decision you make tomorrow, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that. These are my plans for the future, these are not my plans. Wouldn't it be best if we said, "If the Lord will, we'll do this or that"? That's what James said. And then if you think, here's a decision I'm thinking about making, ask yourself, is this something God would approve of? And if the answer is no, I think the decision's already made, don't you? Well, sometimes people don't want to know what God thinks. It's kind of interesting in churches. Sometimes people would come to me, and even here maybe, and they'd say, "Pastor, I've decided to do this, and it's something that I can see is not God's will." And it's interesting, they never come to me first. They know what I was going to say. And they didn't go to God. They knew what God was going to say. They just made their mind up. And folks, that's not the way to live your life. Let God lead you. So that's when the blessings come, is when God's leading you. So here, We have the will of God revealed to them in many different ways. There's certainty about God's will. Look at the specific places, Derbe and Lystra, and not to Asia yet, and Bithynia is not suffered. And then Macedonia, call received. And there's certain points in time, certain days, Sabbath days, and daily events. Lots of those things happening in these verses. And then the will of God is revealed to them in a couple of different ways. First of all, if you think about verse 1 of chapter 16, it says they came to Derbe and Lystra, and look at this. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Oh, I think we know some things about him, don't you? I'm thinking of the man's other name. That's his Roman name. But we know him as Timothy. What a great, great helper Timothy was to Paul. Paul said he was my son in the faith. And here is where they got together. So how did Paul know God's will about Timothy? We don't see God telling Paul, this is the guy. But sometimes, folks, when you come across people and it's obvious that they want to serve God and you can help them, the will of God is evident. And I've had that happen, not so much here. We haven't had the chance to add staff here, but we might someday in the near future. But in Maryland, we'd have folks come along and looking for teachers for our school or looking for an assistant pastor or whatever. And I remember the first fellow that I brought in when our other assistant pastor went to Thailand to be a missionary. And God put it together in the strangest way. His sister-in-law heard of us in a roundabout way and came to teach for us. And then we began to look for an assistant pastor. His sister-in-law told her dad, who was his pastor. And long story short, God put it all together. Next thing you know, we had an assistant. His name was Nathan Starr. Did a great job. Was in our church there for a number of years and then left there to go be a pastor in North Carolina. And the little things that God did, you know, we pray about it and you look for God's will, but sometimes God puts people together. Amen? And that's not an accident. So he brings these opportunities along, like Timothy was the opportunity. In verse 3, Paul would have him to go forth with him. And then, just as long as we're there, I'll just mention to you, circumcision doesn't save you, obviously. And the Bible does not demand circumcision of a Gentile. And Timothy had a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father. But Paul knew something. Paul knew he was going to be dealing with some people that were Jews. And Timothy could become an obstacle. And so he had him circumcised. And in that way, Timothy is doing something that's not wrong. He's becoming all things to all men, if you will. I mentioned earlier when I gave John Spade that book on J. Hudson Taylor. J. Hudson Taylor, when he went to China, he said, I'm going to assimilate with the Chinese culture. And the Chinese culture was very unique. They had some things that we wouldn't even approve of. He had long hair. And he wore Chinese clothing. But he wanted the people to accept him so he could give them the gospel. And you can go too far with that. But the point is, Paul said, you know, we're going to make sure that we don't close any doors in the process of working with this fellow. And so he prepared him to be he prepared by removing the obstacle that would have kept him from ministering to the Jews. And that all came together because he could see, again, just looking at the situation and the opportunities that God gave him. And then most important of all, and I've read you the verses already, in verse 7, the Spirit suffered them not. In verse 9, the vision to Macedonia. The verse 8 or verse 6, where the Holy Spirit forbade them to go into Galatia and so on. Folks, God's Spirit leads us. Now, rule one, God will not lead you into something that contradicts the Word of God. Okay? So, for example, God's not going to tell you to do something that's a sin. And the fact that you have an opportunity to do something doesn't mean it's God's will. The question is it right or is it wrong? If it's wrong, it's not God's will. If the Bible denounces it, it's not God's will. That's pretty easy. The next question is, does it honor God or does it dishonor God? And if it dishonors God, it's not God's will. And we could get further into this, and we've got lessons on it and so on, but the Holy Spirit leads us, and the best way I have found, in fact, I would say it is the ultimate way, is to get in your Bible and read your Bible and pray and say, God, show me what you want me to do. One story I told you before, so I'll tell the short version. We were getting ready, trying to decide where to go candidate in 2002. I knew I was going to candidate at some churches, and I was looking for a place to candidate. And a fellow called me, and he said, we'd like to have you come candidate in our church. And I looked at the situation, and it looked to me like the situation didn't honor God. And so based on that principle, I said to him, I don't think this is God's will. And he said to me, well, I do. And he said, so I'd like to ask you if you would fast and pray and read your Bible over the weekend and then let us know next week. And I was reading my Bible in Proverbs, and the Lord spoke to me, and it was just as clear as day. The Bible says a man's a fool, and I'm paraphrasing, if he decides a matter before he hears it. You know, you think this situation might be something that dishonors God, but you haven't been there yet. You don't know. And it turned out that it didn't dishonor God, that the thing I had seen, there were some problems, but not what I thought they were. And it was very clear to me, you need to go see these people. So we did. And I told you the other half of that story where I prepared the message out of Esther. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I walk into the auditorium of this church, which is at that time a little smaller than this maybe. And I walk in there, and the only Bible verse in any place in that whole auditorium was a little plaque behind the piano about that big. Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That's a kind of a coincidence, but I can use those. Be careful. Prayerfully, it became very clear to me, this is where God wants us. And so the Holy Spirit will lead us, but first you got to want to be led. And then you got to listen, and you got to look. And folks, there's nothing worse than living your life and not letting God lead you. It's not a safe formula. It's not a good formula. So the will of God can be revealed in different ways, using our experience to discern what's practical, like when he circumcised Timothy, taking opportunities that God has given us, like Timothy or like these people that he's visiting with here, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, don't go here, go there. Be very careful, by the way, in verse 9 with visions and dreams. Paul didn't have what we have. We have the complete Bible. And God can show you things. I've had some exciting dreams. I've had some stupid dreams. And I don't change my life because of a dream. But if the Bible says it, that'll change your life, won't it? So what I'm trying to say to you is, first of all, there are certain details that God's will, in God's will for your life. And there's a way that God will reveal them to you. Now let's look at the end of this and we'll finish up. When you're in God's will. And oh, by the way, I haven't said this, I'll say it again. If you really, really want God's will, I think God will take care of you. I think he'll keep you there. If you really want God's will, when someone says, I want what I want, I want to be able to do what I want, and I want to be able to have this or have that, but I don't really care what God's will is, this is what I want, that's when you're in trouble. But when you say, Lord, what is your will regarding this decision, regarding this matter, regarding this day or whatever? And in your life, day by day. And there will be some big decisions, and there will be some small ones, a lot of small ones. There will be some little tiny ones. But every decision you make ought to be seeking God's will. And I think if you'll do that, God will take care of you. And then what you're going to see is some, I'm using the letter C here, some consequences, some blessings, some fruit. You know, he had that certainty. He was in the right place. There was that conveyance or that message that God had. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I don't want you to do. And now there were the consequences. We've mentioned Timothy already. What a great result that was. But look at verse 14. I like this word certain, by the way. That kind of goes back to the details of God's will. Verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. That's one of the seven churches of the Revelation, by the way. The person that sold purple, purple was a special fabric that they used in royal clothing, and it was very expensive. And she worshiped God, and she heard us. Her heart, the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. We see this over and over in the book of Acts, where there were some people, and they acknowledged God, but they didn't know Christ yet. And then God sent them the gospel. You could ask them when you get to heaven, and they'll both say the same thing. Lydia's going to say this: I'm so glad God sent Paul. Paul's going to say, I'm so glad God sent Lydia. And in our life, when we are in God's will, He puts things together. Amen? And you'll say, I'm so glad God did this. And that's the beauty of God's will, when you're in God's will. Now, would you say, well, so if you're in God's will, you have a trouble-free life? No, Paul did not have a trouble-free life. But when you're in God's will, two things happen. God will get you through the troubles. He'll bless you for going through them, by the way. And then God will give you blessings and results and fruit. I tried to allude to this morning a little bit, talking about the decisions that we make and the consequences of them. Sometimes we make decisions in our life. You know, Adonijah, he made a bad decision. You know, instead of going to the king himself and asking for forgiveness, he went to the king's mother and asked for a wife and a special certain woman that he shouldn't have been asking for to begin with. And as a result, he died. You say, well, you can see the bad consequences of his decision. He died. But what about a Christian that makes decisions that forsake the will of God or don't even think about the will of God, and they slip away or they walk away, and before you know it, they're nowhere close to God? You say, well, they'll still live a good life. I've had people tell me that. Pastor, I'm still saved. I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm still saved. Don't you think there's an eternity? Amen? Isn't there a consequence? The Bible says that there are rewards to be gained or lost. And that pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, I know every single one of us, when we stand before the Lord, we're gonna think, I wish I had done more. But don't you think some folks are going to say, I wish I had done something? Or I wish I had not forsaken Him in my life and lived my life for myself? And what are your enemies? There's three of them: the world, the flesh, and the devil. What's the world? The world is all those goodies out there, the fashion and the styles and the entertainment and the godlessness and some things that aren't necessarily bad. They're just not God's. They don't belong to God. They belong to the world. And then the flesh. Oh, don't get me going on that. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And our flesh wants things. Our flesh has carnal desires, and our flesh wants certain pleasures and so on. And then the devil, and he's going to be there to harass you whenever he can. And if you let any of those three things get a grip on you, they'll want to pull you away from God, won't they? How are you going to defeat that? By walking with God every day. By not knowingly making a decision that takes you away from the Lord and the things of the Lord. And because it's a dangerous world. I saw something, I've seen it over and over, it's over the years. There's a picture of a pack of lions, and they're just about to take down this, I guess it was probably a gazelle or some kind of animal in Africa. And if you look at the setting, there's the herd, and then over here off to the side of the herd, by itself, there's this one animal, and guess where the lions are? They're not over there by the herd. They're over there after that one animal. And then whoever picked that picture up and put the heading under it mentioned something about Christians being in God's house, in the church. When you get away from the Lord, the farther you are from God, the closer you are to the devil, wouldn't you agree? And the more dangerous it is. You need to stay in God's will so you can stay safe. Then there will be some good consequences. You'll meet some Timothys along the way, and they'll be a blessing to you and you to them. You'll meet some Lydias along the way. Lydia worshiped God, was wanting to go closer to God, and they gave her the gospel. And she got baptized. And then even greater things happen. And then we'll look at this next week, or the week after next. You have the story of the Philippian jailer. What a huge victory! Had to go to jail first to see that. But what a huge victory. And then read Philippians sometime. What does Paul talk about in Philippians over and over and over and over? Joy. Joy. And he talks about the joy that he has because of the Philippians. And you know what that all came from? Paul being in God's will. I can sit down and I can think back on years past, and I can think, wow. I was looking at some pictures of the church in Maryland on Facebook, and they were having some activities. And I saw some faces I recognized and a place that I knew. And I thought, wow, what a blessing God was to let me be a part of that work that's still going. Amen? Or I look at those pictures that Nelson Dorr puts in his prayer letters. And I've been down there. We've seen it. The hundreds of people that come out to church on Sunday, and people getting saved and people being trained. And I hear names like Bernardino, a young man that I was down there before he even graduated from their institute. Bought the guy a Bible one time. And that's neither here nor there. It was $20. It's no big deal. But just people that I'm glad I was a little part of their life. And now the joy that they're still going. Amen? But joy comes in the morning. Sometimes there's some sorrow to be had first. But if you'll stay in God's will, the ultimate result is joy. And then, hey, let's face it. Most of us, not all of us, most of us are getting up there in the years. And we got more life behind us than we have ahead of us. And we think about, how did you spend your life? When you're 60 or 70 or 80, you've only got maybe a decade to go or more, and you think, I can't go back and relive my 20s or my 30s or my 40s or my 50s. But I can look back at my 20s weren't so good until towards the end. But my 30s, my 40s, and my 50s, and now my 60s, there's joy. Because I walked with God and I stayed in His will. And there's fruit, eternal fruit. That's the point of staying in God's will. It pleases God, it glorifies God, and it gives us a life worth living. And the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil are, oh, you can be happy now by just walking away from God and having a little sin in your life, and that'll make you happy. Even if it did, Moses called it the pleasure of sin for a season. That's what the Bible describes it as. Moses saw the pleasure of sin is for a season. But folks, the joy of walking with God is everlasting. I wonder sometimes, what are we going to do in heaven? We say the word heaven, you realize there's a new heaven and a new earth, right? So even to say heaven is a little misnomer, because there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new city, and we're going to live in that city. And there's going to be no night. There will be no sin, no darkness, no pain, no suffering, no dirt, nothing, any bad dirt. The streets will be made of gold, the gates of pearl. We'll serve the Lord and we'll be so glad to do it, and for all eternity. And when you start to think about those kind of things, Paul described it this way. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I'm convinced that the trouble that we have now is not to be compared with the glory to be revealed in us. But wouldn't it be so sad? And I know it's going to happen. Some people are going to step into eternity that walked away from God, maybe not completely, maybe just a little, maybe just too much, maybe just a little further than they should have. And that's all the devil's really got to do, is get you far enough off the trail that you miss out on those blessings that God wants to give you and that fruit that God wants you to produce. And he hadn't got to get you in rampant, violent, horrible sin. He just needs to get you off the road a little ways. Then what happens when you step into eternity, what you could have had in your life, you missed out on. And, you know, you wonder, why will there be some tears in heaven that Jesus wipes away? I think part of it's going to be because we're going to feel horrible grief for some of the times when we chose not to seek God's will, but to do what we wanted to do when we knew it wasn't God's will. And we missed out on some blessings. And folks, doesn't the Lord deserve our best? He gave us His best. God gave us His best. He gave us His only begotten Son. Jesus gave us His best. He lived a sinless life for us so that we could have His righteousness. Don't make this harder than it needs to be. I cannot live next month. I cannot live next year. I can live today. I can make decisions today. Today I'm going to be in church. Today I'm going to do what's right. Today I can live for God. And then tonight, get some rest. Tomorrow, wake up and say, now today I can live this one for God too. One day at a time. Looking for God's will. Praying for God's will. Making decisions one by one that seek God's will rather than ignore God's will. And that's how you have a good life. And that's what Paul did, and look what happened. Opportunities came along, blessings came along, fruit came along. God guided him in very specific ways. And then that time came, and it's right here, where he said, you know, there's some people in Macedonia, northern Greece, over there on the other side of that body of water there across from Turkey. He said, I want to go there. And the Holy Spirit finally said, now's the time. And by waiting and doing it God's way, he saw great blessings. That's how we find God's will. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.